Allen.
Here.
Baker.
Here.
Barlow.
Here.
Biteman.
Here.
Blackburn.
Here.
Blake.
Here.
Bovey. Brown.
Here.
Burkhart.
Here.
Bird.
Here.
Clausen.
Here.
Clem. Connolly.
Here.
Court.
Here.
Crank.
Here.
Dayton. Edwards.
Here.
Eklund.
Here.
Air.
Here.
Flitner.
Here.
Freeman. Furphy, Guru, Gray, Greer, Haley, Hallinan, Halverson, Henderson, Hunt, Jennings, Kinner, Kirkbride, Larson Lloyd, Larson Dan, Lindholm, Lone, Laux, McGuire, Madden, McKim, Miller, Nicholas, Northrup, Obermuller, Olson, Paxton, Pelkey, Piperinen, Ponell, Salazar, Schwartz, Summers, Steinmetz, Sweeney, Walters, Wilson, Winters, Sawanitzer, Mr. Speaker, Clem, Laux, Nicholas, excused, Piperinen. We have 58 present, 2 excused.
Today's prayer is led again by Reverend Mark Marston. So if you'd all please rise.
Let us pray. Come to us this day, our Lord. Help us to ready ourselves for the work that is ahead, a day of rushed activity, expectation, stress, and strain. But, our Lord, we find peace in you. Help us to find a place of grace and forgiveness, a space where we can hear your word and do your work. Each day, our Lord, is a new day of possibilities. We start over each day. Let us be mindful of your creation and all the things that you created on this day. For these things we pray through Jesus Christ. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Let's go!
House will come to order. We have some young people here, so before we go to journal committee reports and messages from the Senate, we would like to move to Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Privilege of the floor.
Please proceed.
Okay. So everybody back in the fishbowl, there's a great class from my hometown, from Lingle Fort Laramie Elementary. They're fourth graders of Mrs. Beaver and Mr. Arnish. Welcome to the house.
Welcome to the house, fourth graders. Wyoming history in fourth grade. It's funny, people from around the state travel to Lingle Fort Laramie for Wyoming history, and you folks from Lingle Fort Laramie travel to the Capitol. Fourth grade, I remember it well. My teacher was Miss Smith. I think it was the best year of my life. So you guys enjoy it. And I think it's important to make every year the best year of your life. So remember that in fifth grade as well. So welcome to the house. And we'll trust you'll come back in a few years and visit our historic capital. Okay, any other privileges of the floor? We're on that order of business of journal committee reports.
Mr. Speaker, your journal committee reports that the journal of February 7th, 2017 has been read and recommends that it be approved. Signed, Representative Guru and Representative Gray.
Messages from the Senate.
Messages from the Wyoming Senate, message number 235. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 124, taxation and sale and lease transaction, ayes 30. Mr. Speaker, the bill, message number 236. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. Senate file 157, education, continuing contract teacher status, ayes 16, noes 14. Message number 237, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 170, unmanned aircraft, ayes 30. Message number 238, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 16, Small Claims Appearance Fee, ayes 30. Message number 239, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file 165, School Finance, Education Funding Reductions, ayes 27, noes 3. Message number 240, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading in an amended form by the vote indicated. Senate file number 95, early retirement, ayes 28, noes 2. Message number 241, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House bill number 17, adult protective orders, time limit extension, ayes 27, excused, 3. Message number 242. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 18, Child Abuse or Neglect in Military Families, ayes 27, excused, 3. Message number 243. Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill 25. Dry Bean Commission, member terms, ayes 27, excused, 3. Message number 244, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 71, Unemployment, Insurance, Electronic Communications, ayes 27, excused, 3. Message number 245, Mr. Speaker, the bill listed below passed the Senate on third reading by the vote indicated. House Bill number 83, Health Care Facility Licensing Bed Count Limit Exemption, ayes 27, excused, 3. Signed, Ellen Thompson, Senate Chief Clerk.
Representative Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So, ladies and gentlemen, I asked for the privilege of introducing our health care providers for the day. So if you would help me welcome Dr. Ron Malm from Cheyenne and a very fond friend of many in Campbell County and mine personally, our nurse of the day, Sue Howard. Thank you.
Welcome to the House. Reports from standing committees.
Senate File 42, introduced by Judiciary. Opiate Overdose Emergency Treatment, an Act Relating to Public Health and Safety. Mr. Speaker, your committee number one, Judiciary, to whom was referred Senate File 42, Opiate Overdose Emergency Treatment, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes of Representatives Baker, Biteman, Jennings, Kirkbride, Olson, Pelkey, Pownell, Salazar, Winters. Signed, Representative Kirkbride, Chairman. Senate File 36, introduced by Select Committee on Statewide Education Accountability. Education, Leader Evaluation and Support, an Act Relating to Education. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 36, engrossed, Education Leader Evaluation and Support, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Senate File 47, introduced by Appropriations. State Institution Revenue Accounts, an Act Relating to State Institutions. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 47, State Institution Revenue Accounts, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Senate File 52, introduced by Appropriations, Fund Balance Definition, an Act Relating to Administration of Government. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 52, Fund Balance Definition, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Senate File 136, introduced by Appropriations, Energy Science, Stipends and Fellowships, an Act Relating to Abandoned Mine Land Funds. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 136, Energy Science, Stipends and Fellowships, reports back, same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Senate File 147, introduced by Appropriations, Livestock Inspections and Investigators, an Act Relating to Livestock. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 147, engrossed, Livestock Inspections and Investigators, respectfully report same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Senate File 56, introduced by Agriculture, State, and Public Lands and Water Resources. Omnibus Water Bill Planning, an Act Relating to Water Development Projects. Mr. Speaker, your committee number two, Appropriations, to whom was referred Senate File 56, engrossed, Omnibus Water Bill Planning, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Burkhart, Larson, Nicholas, Schwartz, Summers, Walters, and Wilson. Signed, Representative Nicholas, Chairman. Senate File 46, introduced by Senator Case. Appeals by County Assessor, an act relating to taxation. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 46, appeals by County Assessor, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Kenner, Madden, Obermuller, and Paxton. Noes, Representatives Furphy, Hallinan, and Larson. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. Senate File 148, introduced by Senator Christensen. Agricultural Tax Valuation Farmstead, an act relating to ad valorem taxation. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 3, Revenue, to whom was referred Senate File 148, engrossed Agriculture Tax Valuation Farmstead, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representative Furphy, Hallinan, Larson, Obermuller, and Paxton. Noes, Representatives Connolly, Dayton, Kenner, and Madden. Signed, Representative Madden, Chairman. Senate File 13, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Manufactured Alcoholic Beverages, an act relating to alcoholic beverages. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 13, Manufactured Alcoholic Beverages, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. No, Representative Edwards. Absent, Representative Lone. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. Senate File 43, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Alcoholic Beverages Revisions, an act relating to alcoholic beverages. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 43, engrossed Alcoholic Beverages Revisions, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Sweeney, Zwanitzer. No, Representative Edward. Absent, Representative Lone. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. Senate File 45, introduced by Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions. Liquor Dispensing Rooms, an act relating to alcoholic beverages. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 7, Corporations, Elections, and Political Subdivisions, to whom was referred Senate File 45, engrossed Liquor Dispensing Rooms, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Byrd, Ayer, Furphy, Lindholm, Sweeney, and Zwanitzer. No, Representative Edwards. Absent, Representative Lone. Signed, Representative Zwanitzer, Chairman. Senate File 38, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Veteran License Plate Stickers Repeal, an act relating to motor vehicles. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 38, Veteran License Plate Stickers Repeal, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. Senate File 39, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Military Department Composition, an act relating to the Military Department. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 39, engrossed Military Department Composition, respectfully reports back to the House that the recommendation it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. Senate File 40, introduced by Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs. Military Department Record Keeping, an act relating to the Military Department. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 8, Transportation, Highways, and Military Affairs, to whom was referred Senate File 40, engrossed. Military Department Record Keeping, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass. Ayes, Representatives Blackburn, Blake, Brown, Court, Crank, Edwards, Eklund, Laux, Piperinen. Signed, Representative Eklund, Chairman. Senate File 62, introduced by Labor, Health, and Social Services. Telepharmacy Amendments, an act relating to the practice of pharmacy. Mr. Speaker, your committee number 10, Labor, Health, and Social Services, to whom was referred Senate File 62, engrossed. Telepharmacy Amendments, respectfully reports same back to the House with the recommendation that it do pass with the following amendment. Ayes, Representatives Barlow, Clem, Dayton, Garou, Hallinan, Halverson, McGuire, Sweeney, excused, Representative Lone. Signed, Representative Barlow, Chairman.
Okay, members, I've skipped reading Senate files on first reading today. We have quite a few bills in our committees, and just to save a little time, and I might come back to it later in the day, depending on our time. So we are now at that order of business of bills on second reading. And before we read in the budget bill, the second reading, and go to amendments, I just want to remind everyone that I believe there is a pink sheet with the amendments ordered. And I've watched here in the chamber, that several of you are ordering your amendments. And they, of course, go by agency number. And if you have two in the same agency, they'll be ordered really by the page number first in most cases, or even line number. And so, but if you haven't found this in your box, this is in there to show you the order of the amendments. So they don't go in numerical order, they go in agency order. So with that said, there is one addition to this pink sheet, and you have a new amendment that it was submitted before 5, like all amendments, and it was approved and now distributed, and it's amendment number 31. And that goes to the bottom of your the first column in between amendments number 18 and 19. So if you look at the bottom of your first column, you see amendments 16, 17, 18, insert 31, and then 19, and then it goes on to the second column. Okay, is that clear? I think we got that. So with that, members, and then members, I would say that as I time second reading debates or second reading debate rules, and I'll have various members throughout the morning and the day come up and run the debate. I usually have the Speaker Pro Tem. He's going to be working as a committee man on appropriations, and so if you get a little note to please come see the Speaker, and so that's what's going to happen throughout the morning. I'd like to move that around a little bit so we can all stretch our legs and do that kind of thing. So with that, we're at that order of business of bills on
Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Barlow.
Mr. Speaker, could I clarify that you're not going to introduce and refer any bills because I've got a group of dedicated staff here that were anticipating that, and if they want to know if they could be excused at the moment.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Okay, members, anything else? Okay. We are at that order of business of bills on second reading. And the first bill for our consideration is House Bill 1.
House Bill 1, General Government Appropriations, an act relating to supplemental appropriations for the operation of state government.
We have amendments. And I would say, members, this is the fewest second reading amendments that I ever have seen, frankly. The previous low was 90. Usually it's been 140, 150. Been more than that at times, and I think we have 24 or 25, some number in there, but it's well below. So this sets a new record on second reading amendments as we move on to that. So the second reading amendment, we're on second reading amendment number 1. Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am going to, because we just got a corrected copy, and we haven't had time to vet that totally, but I would withdraw the amendment at this point in time and may bring it back for the third reading.
Okay, thank you, Representative Sweeney. Second reading amendment number one has been withdrawn. We are on second reading amendment number two.
Thank you, Speaker Obermueller. Chairman Hartman, Speaker Hartman, sorry.
I've certainly been called worse. Thank you, Representative Sweeney. We are on second reading amendment number two. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number two.
House will come to order.
And ask for your favorable consideration. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a, if you recall, this has to do with the nine added positions, up to nine, in the state treasurer's office. And the process is that he's going to be able to go in and capture what we pay to investment managers, and for basically at a 2-to-1 ratio, so that if he takes $6 million out of funding for investment managers that are outside independent folks and brings them in-house, he's allowed to use up to one half of that amount, so $3 million, to add these nine positions, and we talked about what they were prior, which is one attorney, three accountants, and I think there are three investment specialists, and then a computer programmer, and then they're also going to have like almost a day trading table where they can do specific things. This is just going to be for the income component section of the investment portfolio. But what this does is tighten down in more particular detail what he has to report to the JAC and eventually to the legislature on exactly the performance and benchmarks of those investment folks that he's going to retain. It creates basically a whole separate division, so we can track and monitor every dime that's spent through the regular series 100, 200, 600, 900, and it requires, out of that $3 million savings, computers, software, all the components have to come out of that savings, and so we monitor it and make sure that it doesn't kind of just flow back into it to his general operating budget, and requires a report so we can demonstrate that he, in fact, is beating his benchmarks, beating the fund that he replaced, and is investing the money appropriately, and that it was a sound decision on our behalf. So if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them. Otherwise, I would move to close and ask for call for the question.
And we're on second reading amendment number two. Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Barlow.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I think I understand the concept here, and I'm supportive of that. But the component on line 23 through 28 of the amendment talks about including the biennial budget. Biennial budget will start being put together here in the next 3 or 4 months. So a lot of that's going to be, I would assume, forecast. Not going to have actually all this in place. So he's going to be actually having to presume some things or the path that they're on. Would that be a fair assumption in the context of this amendment? Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
For your first time, Representative Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Just
Chairman
Zwanitzer. Couple questions. So I guess first my concern is we're going to hire these people and we're going to, I guess, start paying them concurrently while we're still paying our external, and then it's going to be, the way I read this, kind of a comparison to see if we're doing better internally in our first year than what we would be doing externally. I guess my fear maybe is, let's say we're not perfect our first year as we're trying this pretty massive endeavor. And I mean, are we holding that over the state treasurer's head saying, hey, you know, if you can't outperform our external managers, we're going to rip these nine positions away and go back to how things used to work? And that's probably good to have that oversight. It just kind of worries me if these are going to be state employees and we're hiring them on to have that kind of hanging over their head. And I guess my second question is, where, either in the budget or maybe somewhere else, have we anticipated putting these people now. So I understand in 2019 we're going to have a new line in the budget, and there'll be, you know, office costs. But I assume if we're going to get them up and going, and it's going to cost, you know, furniture, fixtures, equipment, all of these type things now, is that anticipated in the current budget that they all have to have furniture, and we're going to set up this operation? And I don't think there's, maybe there's room in their current space. On a different floor. But where are we anticipating for the next year while this is all being worked out? And are we hurting ourselves by basically letting our internal go the same time the external is going? And are we going to lose any money in the meantime of having two concurrent, an internal and external, operating at the same time and seeing if we can beat internally what they can beat externally?
Anyone else for their first time? First time. Anyone for their second time before the sponsor of the amendment? Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you. And to answer those two questions, you'll notice that going to the first question, it doesn't really go into their budget until 1920, because they'll be retaining these positions. Over the testimony was it'll take them anywhere between 9 to 12 months to fill these positions. And they've already selected the particular fund manager that they're going to terminate. And the timing of that is, I believe that a contract comes up, I believe, in July, is my understanding. But the testimony was that they're kind of ready to hit the ground running with this thing because of the new folks they've already received, and they're going to be melded into these other positions. And that's the process. And the questions from the good representative from Laramie County, those are the exact same questions we asked him. And he was basically affirmative on all that. They are more than confident, and they've got a game plan to move forward on terminating that contract, getting the funds in line, and go immediately into retaining and hiring these folks. And as soon as we pull the trigger, they're ready to go. So
We are voting on second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no. Second reading amendment number 2 to House Bill 1 has been adopted. We are on second reading amendment number 3. Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd move second reading amendment number 3 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. And we're just making a small change here on page 13 and line 15. We're basically just saying that the internal service appropriation shall only be expended for vehicle replacements as a result of a vehicle condition as determined by the director, so they could still determine the condition of an administration and information, or after a vehicle has attained the mileage at least 150,000 miles. So just a small change. Ask for your favorable consideration. Thank you.
Representative Walters, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would encourage you to resist this amendment. This agency has a very complicated formula that they use to decide when to replace vehicles. And while I know in many of our lives we drive our personal vehicles well beyond the 150,000-mile mark, and maybe even those vehicles on the state level can make it, it's a matter of value here. And so the state has figured out the best and most opportune time to trade and replace these vehicles. And so dictating what the mileage has to be will affect our overall bottom line. And so while it seems like it makes sense, I think in the long run it will end up costing the state money. And so I would encourage you to resist this.
Any other member for their first time? Representative Pownell.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I would also urge you to vote against this amendment because it does put those folks in a kind of a serious predicament on some of those vehicles. Not only that, bear in mind, emergency services, you want those vehicles to be in top shape when they're responding to a need. So if you implement this amendment, it may create some problems as far as emergency services. So I urge you to vote it down. Thank you.
Any other members for your first time? Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. on it for this amendment. You know, as many of you guys know, I have a little bit of knowledge in this particular portion of with this idea here, and I actually think this is a really good amendment. And the reason is we heard just her testimony that this is there's a calculated formula that determines the best sale of this vehicle. Well, I can assure you that there's no type of calculation for the best purchase of the vehicle. We go out for the lowest bid, and when that bid comes back, we just assume that that's going to be whatever the cheapest vehicle going out there is, and the cheapest vehicle is going to be sold out. So this just gives the gives a little bit longer life and extends the amount of time that these vehicles are going to have to be held. And I think this is a fantastic idea, and I support this amendment and urge you to as well.
Any other amendments? Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, you know, this isn't a huge step, but it's what we all do in our personal lives to, you know, extend the life of our vehicles when money's a little bit short, and that's what we've got here. Money's a little bit short. We actually have a department that maintains these vehicles, so they, you know, if an engine's blown or a transmission or something like that, they probably will go ahead and junk the vehicle anyway, but going an extra 25% in mileage on these. I've had some state employees that are wondering why they have to get rid of their vehicles. They're just broken in at 120,000.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Nicholas?
Thanks. And just a slight response to this. The last year, we raised it from 100,000 to 120,000 for the very same reason that's being brought on here. And all I can say is that, you know, for a time, I was worked in the Attorney General's office and had the opportunity to drive in these cars fairly regularly. And these cars are they're kind of like rental cars. And by the time they get to 80 or 90 or 100,000 miles, they're a little bit rickety. And so the question is, where's that sweet spot? And we really haven't had a lot of experience to know if 120 was too high or too low. So I'm just a little bit hesitant about going up another 30,000 miles. Maybe if it was another 10 or 15, it might make a little bit more sense to kind of gradually get there. But just a little bit of personal experience involved there. Thanks.
Representative Lone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for this amendment, I believe this provides for or encourages responsible use by our state agencies. Thank you.
Chairman Zwanitzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Against the amendment, and as someone who spent 15 years selling state vehicles, I would say 120 is already too high. That there's actually, you know, you get money back to the state when you sell these state vehicles, and there are some certain price points as an auctioneer you worked at that you just knew which cars were going to go for a little bit more because, you know, you buy these cars in bulk, and so you have 20 Ford Tauruses and 20 Chevy Malibus, and you're auctioning them all off the same day, and the mileage really is a factor, especially when you have that testimony that they're not unlike rental cars. Not that I would bemoan state employees for, but a lot of them are interstate miles, and people know that. But there is some magic numbers that come back to the state in selling these vehicles, and I think if you hit 150, you would actually see some detriment that the state of Wyoming probably would not be able to sell those vehicles for the price they make now that goes back into A&I to purchase new vehicles.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So I run around in a crew vehicle, in a crew truck, with a group of guys, and we're on the road every day for work. We put a lot of mileage, and over the years, the company that I work for is up the mileage and up the mileage before we replace these vehicles. Why? It's because technology has improved. A lot of these new diesel trucks and some of these cars can go a lot longer. You know, and on top of that, with them upping the mileage, I found that me and my crew, the crew of guys that I lead, we actually take better care of our rig because it has to last longer. So on and for this amendment, it just makes sense.
Anyone else for the first time, second time? First time? First time, Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, having gone through this process at the county level, we spent a long time evaluating the relationship between maintenance and resale. And as I recall, at my county, our number was roughly the same as the current number that is being used by the state, so on and against.
Any other member, first time? Moving to second. Representative Edwards.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment. As a ex-county commissioner, I believe that this is a good piece of legislation. It keeps the people that drive the car as the representative from House District 1 said it makes them take care of their outfits a lot better than knowing that they have to drive them a lot longer. And I think we will get the bang for our buck if we keep them. Thank you. Honored for the bill, our amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Moving to second time. Second time before the sponsor, Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Again, I'd urge you to resist this, and it's really not a matter of taking care of them or whatnot. This is about overall economics of the system, of our fleet of vehicles. And if we keep them too long and they don't generate enough resale value, then we have to dip in to our general fund dollars even greater to replace those. And we're going to replace them. That's just a fact of the matter. So we found a sweet spot. The division, the agency does a good job of computing and calculating what that sweet spot should be to get the most in resale value, to get the most longevity out of the vehicle. And I recognize they can go longer, and that's all understandable. However, their resale value is still impacted, and that resale value goes right back towards the replacement cost. And so trying to look at this from a long-term perspective.
For second time, Representative Pownell.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. Also, you want to take into consideration that the more mileage that you put on, you do have an increase in cost of maintenance. I've seen that from experience. It's not just the motor. It's the other working elements of that vehicle. So, in essence, I don't believe it'll save money. I think it'll cost more money to maintain these vehicles up to that mileage. So, again, I urge you to vote no on this amendment. Thank you.
For your second time, Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Again, on and for this, one thing that I think we should maybe bring back to think about a little bit here is we'll just use example. Car A may resell for just a hair different than Car B. We don't put that into consideration when we're purchasing these vehicles. So this idea that resale is going to change drastically really doesn't have an impact on this particular portion because we don't look at the cost-benefit analysis when we purchase the vehicles. Now, if we had a little bit better understanding on the cost-benefit analysis of the purchase of the vehicle and we had a true delineation of what was going to be the case when these cars go to sale, then, yeah, we could probably have this discussion that this is really hurting the resale. But when you're talking the total amount of carriers and types of vehicles that we bring in, there's no rhyme or reason on this. And so I think this just, again, it encourages good stewardship of the vehicle and increases the longevity of the life of the vehicle for the state. And I think it's a great amendment. So, again, I encourage an aye vote.
Anyone else for the second time for the sponsor? Representative Steinmetz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just pointing you back to the bill, it says it's determined by the director. So if the vehicle is in rough shape and needs to be replaced, the director can still do that. Otherwise, it needs to be 150,000 miles. And just think of it as if you like your vehicle, you can keep it. So thanks and favorable consideration. Thank you.
Okay, we are voting on second reading. Amendment number 3 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
That amendment has been adopted. And members, I would point out that that is mileage, not dollars, and so it does not need a roll call vote. And I'd remind you that according to House rules, any amendments that are successful that either increase or decrease expenditures will require a roll call vote. Okay, members, we are on second reading amendment number 4. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. Members, if you'll look at your budget bill, this affects page 14 and page 15. And stepping back to the previous discussion, this has to do with the Wyoming Youth Challenge Academy. And all it's really doing is reinstating the money that appropriations our committee of seven or committee of nine people had taken from the bill. And I wanted to give the whole body an opportunity to look at this and have their voice heard on this. So I think this is a great program. I think that the impacts of this cut would be pretty dramatic on the program and the state and our whole system of education as a whole. I look at this program, and some of you may know and some of you may not know that my oldest biological son is currently in the program. And so I'm looking forward to the members of this group coming down here in the next couple weeks and saying hi to us, something that happens every year. But really, this to me is a voluntary intervention program. This is a tool and it's a key, and this is for individuals that are voluntarily making this decision and wanting to make changes in their lives. So I'll leave some of the other testimony and ask for your favorable consideration.
Representative Salazar, for your first time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to stand in support of this amendment. This is truly the premier program for the National Guard. We're dealing with Wyoming youth who are at risk, who if they had not had this program, might be starting different endeavors than this. The cost is incredible. It's $42 per day per student, and it's really a cost-effective program that in terms of addressing at-risk students, is truly an amazing figure on the cost per day. I think it's something worthy of consideration. I was sorry to see it cut, and I would ask that you look at this amendment seriously. These truly are Wyoming youth who would be going in the wrong direction without this program, and it is an incredible program. And I think most of you understand the program and its success ratio. So thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. And this is a good program, and we're not eliminating the program. Remember, this program has approximately 25% of its students come from out of state. They have to actively recruit to fill this program. But the biggest reason I want to talk about is we had a great debate yesterday on school funding and how do we make cuts and how do we get revenues and how do we do money shifts. And part of that whole discussion, and not in that bill, but part of that whole discussion is what your Appropriations Committee did, which was to look at all those school foundation dollars that are going to other agencies in the state and how can we trim some of those back. And this was one of those places we cut. There are no easy cuts, but if we want to solve that educational deficit, we have to cut school foundation dollars as well as shift revenues. And so this was part of that. And I think altogether, I think we had around $4 million that we cut annually out of school foundation dollars from various agencies, and this is one of the biggest, frankly. So I would urge you to resist this amendment and stay the course. Thank you.
Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I too remember the debate yesterday, and I'm very grateful for that. And one thing that debate gave me is hope. I visited this academy, and I've looked into the eyes of these young people, and I see hope in their eyes. And when you're talking about trying to catch someone, we had a bill talking about the other end of it, where they're a lot older and stuff. But these are young folks, early in life, and I get it that we want to find places to cut, but I would urge resistance to cutting in an area where we can save just one child or one young person to get themselves back on the right track. And regarding the ones that are coming from out of state, well, I say, why not? You know, we're trying to recruit students to go to our university, but also some of these young people that come from out of state, you know, they'll come here, they'll get that training up there and that encouragement to get their life back on track, hopefully, and maybe they'll decide to stay here and live and become very productive members of our community.
Chairman Zwanzer.
Thanks, Mr. Speaker. Certainly on the amendment, I probably should preface it saying I'm on the foundation board and have been for 9 years or 4 years as chairman. I'm currently the treasurer, and I'm going off in 3 months. So if any other legislator would like to be on the foundation board, please come see me. That being said, back to the bill. I really hated this thing in the budget and love this amendment because it's one of those apples to oranges thing. So we're taking out school foundation dollars, but you're not cutting staff. Because, you know, when you take out school foundation dollars to other programs, you're talking administrators, teachers, et cetera. If you cut it by $500,000 and you're still going to have two classes, there's only two classroom teachers and there's a cadre and there's staff and there's activities, but you're not going to be eliminating positions. You're legitimately just going to be cutting kids' educations, right? So if these are kids who, for whatever reason, have dropped out of the public school system and they go into the youth challenge and In about half the cases, they go back into the public school system. But if they dropped out and we got them to go right back into high school, they'd be using S5, school foundation dollars for that. You're actually just legitimately cutting off these kids and making them wait longer, and in some cases 6 months is the difference, right? I mean, in those cases, they can go to that school in Sheridan, that school in Worland. There's another program that has a proper name that I can't use. But that's where these kids would otherwise go and cost the state money, or they'd just be high school dropouts. And who, I mean, sometimes they go into the correction system. Sometimes they might leave the state. We made a decision 3 years ago that if we had extra spots, we would take youth from other states, including our neighbor to the south, because 43 states have a National Guard Youth Challenge Foundation. That's the name of the national program through the Federal National Guard and kind of all the bureaus. They have these programs. And so our neighbor to the south does not have this. And we got a lot of kids were finding ways that had an aunt, an uncle, a cousin, a best friend who lived in our state, and they were finding ways into our program already. And we said, you know, why make it tough? If we have a couple extra spots each class year and the feds are paying 75% of the dollars, and we have, you know, we've already got the staff, we already got the books, we already have everything for the program, we have some spots, let's take some kids from other states if we have room that aren't otherwise hurting the program. And so if we wanted to make sure we don't take other states' youth, we can certainly do that in the third reading amendment that limits, you know, the money in this program to just being Wyoming kids. And I think that's a legitimate policy choice we can make. But by just cutting $500,000, all you're really doing is taking all those at-risk youth and saying, you know, if you don't want to go back into high school and you can't get into the, I guess I can call it the Wyoming Cowboy Challenge Academy program, you're just kind of hanging out there when you're 16, 17, or 18 for 5 months. And I think we all know what happens when you're not in school and you're 17, you don't know what you're doing. I have another great bill on homeless minors that we passed. You know, this is a really great program, and in many cases these kids go back into the school system, or they get their GED, or they go into the military, and they get on with their lives. And so I would ask you to support this amendment, and maybe on third reading we can have a discussion if we should just limit it to Wyoming kids, and we, I think, have legitimate reasons we could do that or shouldn't do that, and we can talk about
it. Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I've had the opportunity to watch Cowboy Challenge program in action, and I know how challenging it must be to figure out how to make the right kind of cuts across the spectrum in our budget. And I respect the hard work you guys have done. I appreciate it very much, too. With this particular program, you have to ask the question of return on investment, because when you're spending $42 a day for a kid in this program, these children, by and large, are ones that are going to be tipped into a far more expensive program at some point in the future. When you look at the kids that are being served, they're able to actually go there on a voluntary basis, and they're receiving the help they need at far less cost. And many times, before they get further into whatever problem or addiction that they were in before that caused the problem in the first place. And so this actually is a question of return on investment. This is a very effective program. So I understand where the cuts need to be made. This particular program probably is not the place to find your cut. Now, the question of the education dollars, and I understand that perspective. It's a very serious perspective. But the reality is also this could potentially, we could contemplate some of this in terms of Department of Corrections as well, because these are kids that would certainly wind up in that department in some way or another unless they had the opportunity to receive the help they need at this very critical point. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Representative Blown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to echo the words of our last speaker. Having served in the Wyoming Guard, I have had the opportunity to work with these children on several occasions, and their desire to continue service afterwards in our Guard is a great, great benefit to us. So this program is also a great recruiting tool for our military. And when we have less than 1% of our citizens serving as military members, it would be remiss to get rid of one of those programs that we can do some recruiting from. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you, Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And just so the body, a little more clarification, as we had this discussion with the department that oversees this program, we indicated that we could probably cut back. We asked them, do we cut back to three? Do we cut back to two? How does that work best for you? Their recommendation is the model that we went to. The classes have not been 100% full, if my understanding or if my hearing was correct at the time. But again, the biggest concern that I had was when we asked them about the out-of-state kids, 25% of them are from out-of-state, and then we followed up with the question of what percentage of funds come from those states to support this program, and we was told that when they made a request to the state south of us, that they replied with the answer that if they wanted a program like this, they'd get their own. So I think until we get some further definition, I think cutting back to the level that we recommended and making some adjustments in there, that we don't argue that it's a good program, but we think that reducing those school foundation dollars to the point that we have, allowing it to continue on as amended by this bill is appropriate, and as they further develop how they go into the future and looking for federal funds and how we handle these out-of-state kids, I think that we need to be prudent with the expenditures that we have.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a couple things. 2 years ago in this program, we went from three classes to four at the request of the agency. And since then, they haven't been able to fill all four classes. So in discussions with the agency, we asked them, what's the best way to do this? Could we cut to two? And they said, no, please don't cut to two, because the manner in which these classes are conducted really disrupts their staffing and the process they use. They said they could go back to three, they could keep their federal monies, and that everything would be good. So we did not eliminate this program. We cut $500,000, and they still have $2 million into this program for these kids who could use a little bit of direction in their life, a little bit of help from the military. And one thing is, this is not a recruiting program for the National Guard by any means. It's to help these kids. It's a service they give back to the state and to all of us in helping these kids become better citizens. I don't know if any of you have had a chance to talk to them when they're here. They come to the session. They'll be out here, hopefully. Talk to some of them and see the difference it's made in their life. But at the same time, we do have to control our costs. And we've had 2 days of discussions on education funding. And I don't know that we want to go back now and say, okay, we're going to move $500,000 now, $1 million in the biennium, out of educational funding for this program. They get federal funds. We've already funded it. We have not cut their funding. It's still there to help these kids. And hopefully the classes will be a little more full. They make full use of the staff. And the facilities they have, they can make three work much better than they can make two. And actually, I think in the end, four was probably crowding the program a little bit. Because after these kids get out, they have 6 months of mentoring back in the community they have to make sure they get. So I think we've reached a good medium on this, and I would oppose this amendment. It's just not needed at this time.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against this amendment, as you just heard, $1 million biennially. How hard did we fight? We spent 2 days arguing over millions of dollars in education in cuts and working that bill and working the bill and working the bill. And now here we are taking the away from that department and putting it in somewhere else. Once again, I'd just like to remind the body that I don't believe this is the right thing to do. Let's take the cuts in education and move forward. And also, we're talking 25% of the people are in this program or out of state. So let's concentrate on what's going on in state. On and against. Thank you.
Any other members for their first time? Chairman Eklund.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll be as brief as I can. You know, as we've looked for ways of cutting the budget, it's hard to find a place to fall on your sword on. So I'm not going to do it here, but the arguments both ways have been really good. I know this much about this program. It offers an alternative in our public education that's much different than any other choice that these students might have or choices that their parents may have. Very few of these kids, I believe, are in trouble yet. They just do not fit in the present public school system. And as far as the extra students coming from out of state, it was to fill slots. Keep in mind that this is a growing program. It's grown rapidly over the years that it's been there, and we need to, if we don't get this back into the budget, we need to keep in the back of our mind that this is a program that is an alternative for kids that have fallen out of the regular one.
Any other members for the first time?
For a second.
Chairman Nicholas, for a second. Representative Blake.
First time, please.
First time. We're on first time still.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise in support of this amendment. Testimony last night, we asked a couple questions in our Transportation Committee. Some of the out-of-state kids have the Wyoming connection. One child lived here his entire life. His parents recently got a divorce, and his mother moved to the Empire State, a long ways away from here. But his dad was still here in Wyoming, getting in trouble in the Empire State. His dad said, you're coming back here, you're enrolling in this. So he's an out-of-state kid, got the Wyoming connection. I went to a graduation with a good chairman of corporation one several years ago and talked to those kids in depth. Some of these kids, it's life-changing. Getting into the criminal justice system, it's very expensive. Getting into this program and possibly turning your life around, not so expensive. So support this amendment, and maybe on the third reading amendment we could fix the out-of-state kids or something, or make sure they had a Wyoming connection, whatever. But I'm in support of this amendment. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Olson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and for the amendment, I'm not going to rise very often through this process and ask for you to add money back into your budget. I think I commend the committee that's done a tremendous job in trimming down and focusing on one of the most conservative budgets I've seen, and I really appreciate that. But this amendment is an investment. The Wyoming actually has the most cost-effective juvenile incarceration costs in the country. It costs $24 a day to incarcerate a juvenile in the state of Wyoming. For just about $10 more dollars, you can send these kids to the Wyoming Cowboy Challenge Academy. Just to put this into perspective, 47% of the graduates of this program join the workforce. 14% of the graduates go into the military. 34% continue their education. Keep in mind, these are kids who are failing in their home life. They're failing in their current school system. So we've taken them out. We've placed them somewhere. 34% continue education. 47% go into the workforce. Only 5%, that leaves 5% who essentially fail and go back into the system and probably end up incarcerated. So think about that return on your investment. $500,000, that is a huge return on your investment in your workforce, investing in your youth. I think this is a good spend on our money. I don't buy for a moment that decreasing from 4 to 2 classes is a good idea. We gave a department an ultimatum, cut off your left hand or your right hand, and they chose the left hand. So I think that this is a huge, huge investment. I would urge your favorability of this amendment.
Any other members for their first time? Moving to second time before the sponsor. Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I just want to go back and reiterate that this cuts from 4 to 2. We've heard some 3s and we've heard some 2s. When we talked to the department that runs this, we said, can we do it on 3? They says, no, if you're going to do it, go from 4 to 2. Now, the classes aren't full, and we have not eliminated this program. So let's take the 2 classes, make them full, make them efficient, and save some money at the same time. So please remember, we haven't eliminated the program. We give them the option whether to go from 3 or to 2. It was the
program facilitator that says we take two over three, it works better for how it works. And so we would prefer the two. Let's fill the classes up, use it. It's a good program, but I think that it can be done more efficiently, and I'd encourage you to defeat this amendment.
Mr. Speaker, pro tem for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just to clarify something, and I would push this very hard. This, the reductions done by the JC take this program from four classes a year to three classes a year. That was a good position because at two, they start losing some federal money. They have to rearrange staff. It doesn't work well. And I just want to make that clear. The previous speaker kept saying two, it's three. Like I said, we reduced from 2.5 million to roughly 2 million. Now, the other thing is, these are not incarcerated youth. In fact, if you've been incarcerated, my recollection of the testimony is you can't get into this program. These are youth who are on the very edge. And this is a program to bring them back from that edge and maybe set them on a straight path. But at the same time, we have to be effective with our money, and we have to use it in a very effective, cost-effective manner. So that's what we've done. With cooperation, the agency in this, I think we've taken a good compromise position and have done the right thing. The classes will be full probably. These kids will still come out. They'll still come back into society as good people. Talk to them when they're here. They have some great stories. So with that, I'd really oppose this amendment. We don't need to be taking money out of education that we fought so hard to balance out in the last 2 days. And that's what this is going to do. And I don't think any of us want to reopen the education things. So with that, against the amendment.
Representative Winters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I appreciate the good words of the previous person at the mic. But the information that I'm seeing demonstrates that the effects of a $1 million biennial reduction to this program means that they move from four to two classes, not from four to three. And so that's the reason why many of the other individuals that spoke at this mic are talking about this program now going to two classes rather than three. I believe that we would be just fine with going to three classes because if my simple, humble math is correct, I understand. If we have 25% of each class is out-of-state students and we just simply eliminated out-of-state students from this program, if we went to three classes, we could still fully staff three classes with children from this state in this program. So, I mean, I understand that if we were just talking about three classes, but the statistics that I am seeing are showing that we're going from four to two, not from four to three. And I believe that is the nature of our question, and that's the nature of our rub. Thank you.
Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. The reason this comes at all, I want to remind everybody, is we're facing a $360 to $400 million annual deficit in education. We have to find places to cut. We discussed that for 3 days or 3 or 4 days worth of discussions on a bill yesterday. We have to find places to cut. This is an appropriate cut. And we have to find it. None of them are easy cuts. None of them in districts, anywhere else, even in the Department of Education. None of these cuts are easy. But we have to make these cuts to close this $360 to $400 million gap that we have on and against this amendment.
Second time, Representative Long.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would like to make this point that this is an education program. Students come out of here and they do go to higher education, as we heard. They do get their GED. They do get other programs accomplished. So this is funding that is going towards education of students that truly do need it most. Another point I'd like to make is as we discuss the students that come from out of state, we've already passed two bills through this House, probably more, that relate to supporting out-of-state students. So it doesn't make sense for us to say we're going to accept out-of-state students in other areas and cut them from this one area. I mean, let's be consistent. And if we want to bring more young children or young people into our state, these are funds that are well spent. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Chairman Northrup, for your second time.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Yes, there is an education program going on there. Very limited. Understand that's not the initial intent of the program. And also understand that the education goes on there is not accredited. So when you come out, unless you worked with your local district, you cannot make those programs, those credits, transfer into the high school to get a high school degree. Just a clarification on and against this amendment.
Anyone else, second time before the sponsor? Second time. We're going to the sponsor, Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and I'll be brief, but I want to encourage the body again to not get glass bowl syndrome. You know, we've heard some things about 18 to 25-year-olds and how 60% of those people leave our state, and one speaker spoke about, you know, trying to recruit some people into our state and how, you know, in my mind, it's the hypocrisy how we're trying to recruit and offer out-of-state students our money and our state money in some of these programs, yet not in others. But I want to briefly speak to the out-of-state portion of the concern I think that people have and the 25%. You know, my biological son was from out-of-state, and he has an in-state connection. But because he was a resident of another state, they consider him an out-of-state individual. Again, most of these people have in-state connections. They're not just looking on the web and trying to find some program that they can put their kid in. Usually it's generally there's an in-state connection, and the in-state connection is usually pretty strong because of the mentor program. The mentor program requires these individuals afterwards to keep in touch with individuals. And that mentor program generally has a resident of this state. So they're going to be mentored by an individual from this state, most likely. So the out-of-state argument to me, I don't buy. I don't think it has any legs to stand on, because if you really analyze the program, they're not people coming from out-of-state that have no connection and are going to just leave our state and migrate like the other 60% of the 18 to 25-year-olds. And then briefly touching on a couple other things, I think that there is evidence that this will cut it down to two programs. I think that, you know, we recruit and we make the decisions, but I want to bring something else up about the budget, because we're hearing a lot of doomsday about the budget. The state just had a mineral estate sale yesterday, and it brought in 48% of the sale price, and it brought in between $40 and $60 million to our state in one day in the sale. And I asked an individual, I said, do you think that would have happened 6 months ago? And their response was no. So the state and the economy is turning around. Industry is optimistic. So on and for the amendment.
Okay, thank you. We're voting on second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 4 to House Bill 1 has failed. We are now on second reading amendment number 5. And I would, Representative Henderson. We're on second reading amendment number 5. Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I bring second reading amendment number 5 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. What we're trying to do here is kind of like what we talked about just in the last one, is to restore what was cut out and to have a conversation about it with the body. I think it's very important that we do find places to make cuts, but we also need to make sure that we don't have some unintended consequences of those cuts. And so what I would like to do is talk about our industries. You know, we hear that agriculture is our third ranked industry, but it's actually, I think, our first industry. And what we're trying to do here is to continue that legacy of that industry of agriculture going from generation to generation. And I would just briefly say that there's no better opportunity for doing that than the hands-on experience that's provided at our state fair. And so I'd just kick it off there and turn it over to the good representative from where the state fair is held for further amplification.
Representative Clausen.
With all due respect to appropriations, I think they might have overlooked this as a commercial event instead of a youth event when they wanted to take $400,000 out of it and make it raise $400,000. It's statutorily bound to be a youth event, and it does great things. And inside of those statutes, the sale of alcohol is controlled on these grounds, so it really makes it a family-friendly youth event. It's for basically 4-H and FFA kids instead of just a huge party like a commercial event that's similar to this down the street. It's really affected greatly by the mineral industries because it's right there next to where we basically took the greatest hit in this mineral downturn. In a town of 5,000, the attendance to this is down to 40,000. So that tells you it's down from 60,000. So with the minerals decline, we lose quite a little attendance with that. Something else is to keep in mind: if we don't fund this particular event, if we don't take care of it, if we don't have it for 3 years in a row, the land reverts back to the original owners. And there's huge capital investment into this, so I'd like your favorable consideration of this amendment.
Yeah, the member's first time, Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. You know, I went through this. I saw this cut when we were going through the budget, and you know, $400,000 to me seemed a little drastic. But then all of a sudden, I started looking at the fees the fair itself charges. Admissions $1 and $2. Booth space rental is far below market value, and I think the members of the Appropriations Committee, including my own buddy Cut and Slash Schwartz, you know, I think they're sending a message. You know, I mean, the state fair is wonderful. It's great for young people, but I think it's time that the market come into play and we raise fees and costs to a reasonable level and don't supplement them through the general fund. So, on and against this amendment.
Representative Wilson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I am on the JAC, and I have to say that the previous person who's not even on JAC did a super job of backing up what we did. Obviously, all these cuts are tough, but exactly what he said, that you know, a dollar a day admission and subsidize, essentially using general fund dollars to provide vendors with below market price commercial stalls, we did feel that there was room for them to raise some of their rates and fees to make this a more viable opportunity. And so I won't repeat what the previous speaker said, but vote no on the amendment.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, would encourage you to resist this amendment and vote no. Just a little history. From 2000 till today, for operations alone at the state fair, they've received $25.2 million in general funds. They've also received $11.1 million in capital construction dollars. So we have funded this entity extremely well historically. They've had about a 63% increase in their general funds for operations from 2000 until today. They've gone from 1.9 million to 3.1 or over 3.1 million in what we give them in general fund dollars. This is just trimming that back. This is, as we've discussed, the previous speakers have discussed, It's expecting them and asking them to get their rates more in line with what the private sector does. And furthermore, this does not affect the ability to put this event on. The fair will continue to be held. The fair will continue to be a success because the kids in this state are going to be successful. This is just asking the vendors and the folks that show up to help support it a little bit more and expecting a little less of us from support.
Representative Larson.
Folks, this is putting the total amount back in. If you look in your amendments, you've got two more amendments coming back here with probably some more reasonable discussions. I just encourage you to vote this down. It's putting the entire amount back in. I think everybody here realizes that everybody has to take some cuts. This is not requiring them to make any cuts. So I just encourage you to defeat this bill, and we'll carry on, and we'll turn the hatchet loose on you the next round.
Representative Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. On and against the amendment, I think it's time that all of us step up, including those in my industry, and pay our fair share. And if that includes in the state fair. It's, you know, they can add on higher admission fees, and we can pay for this. But it's time we all stepped up.
Chairman Nicholas.
Folks, there are two more bills coming up on this amendment, so let's just kill this one and move on to the next one because they're a little bit better than this one.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Only because I was personally referred to in a previous comment, I am on and against this amendment.
Which I would point out is out of order in our debate rules to refer to another member specifically. Representative Brown.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would just say I don't know that maybe bringing in the full $400,000. I think there's some pretty compelling testimony here that the state fair at this point needs to kind of to bring some money to the table as well. We've looked at the fact that they haven't raised prices in quite a while. So I don't know that the full $400,000 is the way to go on this, but I definitely think that we have an obligation here, members, that we need to make sure we're funding the state fair. You know, but I do think that it's time for them to bring a little bit of money to the game as well. So I'm not so sure that the full $400,000 is the way to go. Thank you.
Anyone else for the first time? Moving to second time. Second time before the sponsor. Anyone for their second time? Moving to the sponsor, Representative Henderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, if one more person stands up or would have stood up, it had the whole JAC, House JAC, and I really respect every one of those good members. This is hard. I've been in budget fiscal management for a lot of years, and it is hard to make choices and make decisions on cutting things. I'll just say this. I'm going to go ahead and withdraw this amendment because we do have another amendment coming, and I appreciate the good discussion.
Second reading amendment number 5 has been withdrawn. We are on second reading amendment number 6. Representative Clausen.
This amendment actually brings this into where.
Representative, if you would move the amendment.
I'd like to move the amendment number 6.
Thank you.
This amendment actually brings things into perspective, and it's kind of where we need to be on this. What it allows for, they raised the fees last year. Everything but the gate fee, and this is kind of a balance. It allows the gate fee to be raised, tripled, and kind of bring things into a better perspective. Once again, if we don't support this particular event, we lose it for 3 years in a row. We will lose the entire thing. We have to give it back to the people that originally owned it. And once again, this is a very important youth event for the ag community. So, all in favor.
Majority Whip Summers.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm on and against this amendment as well. And two concerns here. One is I still believe that the people using, those of us that are participants or those of us that are attendees of the state fair can pay our fair share and make this thing cash flow better than it does now. And the other concern I have is from a community where we have tourism. We've already cut tourism, and I don't see the need to take further tourism dollars to pay pay for this. I don't know that that's a fair trade exactly. So on and against it.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, am against this amendment. One reason is, I don't see the nexus between the tourism and the fair itself. This fair is for youth education opportunities. The good bringer of this amendment even read out of the Constitution yesterday, the day before, as we discussed, this event is for youth education. It has very limited tourism value, if any. And furthermore, the tourism already supports it indirectly by bringing folks to the state. So by cutting them directly is a double whammy to this agency. And so I would encourage you to defeat this amendment. Recognize that, as we had in the last discussion, that this entity can do a little bit more to get their prices in line with fair market value. They did increase their fees last year, and they're still well below market value. That's how they need to know that they need increased again.
Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess, first of all, I'm in favor of this amendment, but I've got a question for the good JAC. I know they did a lot of work and they had a lot to take into consideration. I'd like to know what type of considerations were taken into account on these fees. They keep talking about how they need to raise their fees. So how many individuals are going through the gate, and what does this $400,000 equate to on raising of the fees? Is it a certain dollar amount, or is this just an arbitrary number? Because $400,000 sure looks like an arbitrary number. On and for the amendment.
Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Our county fair is a lot higher than what the fair is that we're talking about, and we really just need to make sure that we get it lined up with what's going on in all the counties, and I am on and against this amendment. Let's get something straightened out in the department.
Any other members? Representative Schwartz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and against the amendment, the idea that taking money out of tourism to replace some of this cut, to me, is a problem. Tourism, as I'll say this over and over again in the course of this debate, is our number two industry. It's a highly competitive industry at this point. We cannot take for granted the revenues that tourism brings to us. They can, very much like our number one industry, they can go away in a heartbeat. And I would urge you to resist this amendment and resist taking money from the Department of Tourism for this purpose.
Representative Pelkey.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And again, rising in opposition to the amendment, this amendment presents us a choice on how to wisely spend $210,000. And frankly, I think spending $210,000 promoting the state of Wyoming in this country and possibly abroad is a much better investment than supplementing $1, $2 admission fees and under market value booth space. As for the good speaker from the county named in a way that warms a defense attorney's heart, I think the number is around 40 to 50,000. So I think the number is around 40 to 50,000 for those who attend that total.
Representative Sweeney.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm on and against the amendment. The mission of the Tourism Board and the Division of Tourism is to get the folks to the state border, and then it's our jobs within the state to keep them here a little bit longer, show them a good time, pick their pockets. Honestly, this is not the spot to get this from. And I'll remind you that tourism, the impact of tourism is 8.6 million overnight visitors, 3.2 billion in direct travel generated expenditures to the state, 170 million in travel generated local and state tax receipts, and most importantly, over 31,000 jobs in the state. So this $210,000 is not the spot to take this from, and I would agree with the Appropriations Committee that we should raise fees and look forward into that on and against the amendment.
Representative Pownell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I kind of got a question. I'm curious if I'm against the amendment as it reads, but does the tourism wouldn't they be an asset to help draw people to this state fair? I think that they would be an asset instead of trying to take money from them. And it's a question: do they assist you in advertisement and so forth?
Any other members for the first time? Representative Howell. Getting all choked up. Representative Howell.
Oh. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. On and in favor of the amendment, I come from a valley on the western side of the state, and our kids and their cows and their sheep and their pigs have to drive the longest distance to get to the annual event over there on almost the other side of the state. And when you're a family of six, I object to increasing fees on these fairgoers 100%. I mean, I'm against it 100%. Please support this amendment. Make this a reasonable summer event, often the only summer event that folks on my side of the state enjoy. Don't price them out of it. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other members for your first time? Second time? First time, Chairman Nicholas.
For a second. Thank you.
For a second. Any other members? We're on second time now. I believe no other members for the first time. I'm going to second time before the sponsor. Chairman Nicholas.
Thank you. Folks, right now they currently raise about $500,000 a year in gate revenues at the state fair. So, but I would suggest that there's another bill coming up, amendment coming after this. If we're going to do this, let's pass this one and not the next one, because the next one directly affects general fund dollars. So this is the one to go for. But I'm against the amendment. Thank you.
Second time before the sponsor. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree somewhat with the good chairman of appropriation. Let's go for this one. That way I can just withdraw my amendment and we can move on for the next one.
Okay, any other members for the sponsor? Okay, Representative Clausen.
In speaking towards the tourism aspect of this, actually, this year we're going to be in conjunction with the event where the sun's being blocked out. And it's going to be a huge tourist draw, they're estimating. So that is the reason that I chose to pull this out of tourism. Plus the 40,000 in attendance. When the mineral industry is in town, it's closer to 60,000. But this year we may have a huge tourist draw, and that was the reasoning behind taking it from tourism. So with that, I'll ask for your favorable consideration.
We are voting on second reading Amendment 6 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say no.
No.
Second reading Amendment number 6 has failed. We are on second reading Amendment number 24. Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move second reading Amendment number 24. You guys have heard the arguments. This comes out of general fund. So this doesn't go after any other departments or anything like that. It's just specifically putting the money back in that was taken out. So with that, I'll let JC beat me up.
Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. But folks, we realize as we look at this event and we look at the cuts we're having to make and the possible revenue that they could raise by increasing their entrance tickets alone. So if we had 40,000 people attending that, which is kind of what we heard, low side of what we heard, if we'd done a cost of $5 a ticket, that would increase, that would take away $160,000 of this $400,000 cut they're taking. Now, we say $5 a ticket, is that too much? If I'm bringing people all the way from the western side of the state, that's $30 for a family
a day to get in there. Take that same family to one of the fast food establishments, and you will walk out with a bigger bill than that. So I think that they can do that. And that's just on entrance fees. You know, that doesn't gate tickets. That doesn't count the entrance fees, the commercial events. And at the end of the day, will they be able to make up that $400,000? Probably not. They'll probably need to get used to living at a lesser budget. We all are. And so I'd encourage you to defeat this amendment.
Anyone else for their first time? Chairman Northrup.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So we're going to get in our $50,000 pickup, hook up to our $20,000 trailer, throw all of our kids in it, and put in $120 worth of fuel, and we're going to go to the state fair. And I understand it because I live it. I live the second farthest away. But still, it's a negligible amount when you look at the whole big picture of what you do for your kids on and against the amendment.
Anyone else for the first time? Representative Halverson.
Thank you. And I would remind the previous speaker that often the truck is being paid off over 4 or 5 years. The trailer is often borrowed or shared. And, no, I wish he hadn't said that. Thanks.
First time to add to this. Anyone else? Second time before the sponsor. Moving to the sponsor, Representative Lindholm.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Vote aye.
We are voting on second reading amendment number 24 to House Bill 1. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no.
No.
Second reading amendment number 24 has failed. We're on second reading amendment number 7. Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would move second reading amendment number 7 to House Bill 1 and ask for your favorable consideration. And members, the reason why I bring this amendment is twofold. Not because I think that I'm going to be able to stand up to the appropriations pulpit, but one is an educational opportunity because there's a lot of money that comes through these funds, the AML dollars. And two, as this branch of government, when we make laws, when we feel an agency isn't necessarily adhering to the law specifically as we intended, we don't have a lot of ability to go back and we don't have a lot of avenues to enforce that law. So if you'll look through the amendment, for those members that are new, I'll spend just a brief second going back and discussing why I brought the amendment. The Bitter Creek Project is a project in Rock Springs, and it's a project that this body is familiar with, the returning members especially. Last year, we passed an amendment on a bill that was a Senate file that had to do with AML dollars. And that amendment was threefold. One, it had to do with some money. Two, it had to do with this department, DEQ, assisting Rock Springs with application for prior balance money. And then thirdly, it had to do with this agency assisting the city with an application for reclamation dollars. And the difference is this. The reclamation dollars are money that have many more strings attached to it. When the federal government issues that money to us and issues that AML dollars to us, the way the process works is those projects are completed and then reimbursed by the federal government. The prior balance dollars, on the other hand, have much more latitude in how they're spent. So my concern is this. We have projects and we have a state reclamation plan, which I would consider to be something that could be modified and updated and really, I think, could be locked down and really looked at in one of our committees. But what we have is these reclamation dollars, we get a chunk of money that comes in every year, and we have a set number of projects, and those projects are set to be complete in 2019. Now, once those projects on the reclamation list are complete, what happens is that latitude is increased, and those reclamation dollars then become similar to the prior balance dollars, and they can be utilized for projects not necessarily associated with reclamation. So the reason that I bring this bill and this amendment to you is that whether by design or by accident. You know, we have a list, and we have a list of projects, and this body and the body down the hall passed legislation last year that moves the Bitter Creek project, and we can talk about the merits of the project and everything like that, but I don't necessarily want to get into that. It's a long discussion, and I'd be love to have it with anybody because I'm passionate about it, as many of you know. There are other legislators from our county that also are very familiar with the project. Minerals Committee met in October in our area, and they saw some of the issues related to the project and the project in and of itself. So there's many people in this body that are familiar with this project, are familiar with the needs of the area, and are familiar with the genesis of the project and the genesis of the problem of the project. Beyond that, Mr. Chairman, I think it's a great opportunity to discuss our priorities with this money. It's a lot of money. It's $104 million that we're getting this next biennium. And oftentimes that money is just overlooked and by this body because the appropriations and the attachments to the money often scare people off with wanting to even go in and try to touch the money. You know, we hear a lot of fear-mongering with this money. If we touch it, you know, the federal government's going to pull it back, and we're going to lose our funds. And the reality is I don't believe that's going to happen, not anytime soon. Our national delegation did a good job in restoring this funding. Our president, I believe, would be on board with keeping the funding in place. And furthermore, Mr. Chairman, I think it's a good idea that this project get put on that list like this body intended, Mr. Chairman, Mr. Speaker.
Thank you. Any members for your first time? Representative Larson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I'd like the body to know that I understand and really have sympathy for this project in the area where the springs come out of the rocks. And we looked at this project, as he mentioned, in the last Minerals Interim Committee while we were there. It has merit, and there's certainly some things that need to be done there. The agency that oversees the administration of these funds to a point does not have a problem with this project. Here's the problem, and it's an unfortunate problem for that vicinity, and that is that the reference to these funds that are referenced in 3511-1202 are talking about using them for public facilities. Have we used AML funds or these funds for public utilities in the past? Yes, $90 million to date we've used for public facilities. But in 2006, when the feds give us our prior balance of $580 million in that same year in congressional legislation, they said that those priority balances and existed balances cannot be used for public facilities, which is what this project is classified as. And so it says we have to take care of our existing, that all the confirmed states that use these monies have to use them for their priority reclamation list for the coal and non-coal reclamation, which, as the good representative pointed out, will be completed in the next couple of years. When that is done, that opens up a whole new ball game for allowing this project to get done. Now, if we freeze these funds that this footnote does, then we're not allowed to use those funds that we need to complete those priority projects. So it's kind of a catch-22. If we can't complete the project, we can't use the funds in the future for public facilities. So we need to be able to use these funds that are there to get the priority list taken care of, and then when that deadline and when those projects are completed, we can take on that project and get it done. I, in talking with that department, they would like to get that situation resolved as well. It's not a state issue. It's requirements of using those federal reimbursements monies for public utilities, and we just can't do it. So I'd encourage you to defeat this amendment.
Representative Walters.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I, too, am against this amendment. We're going to hold a little over $100 million hostage for one project in one community. And I would read to you from our session laws of last year, Section 7 of a bill that passed from the other end of this hall came, of this building, came through this very body and was ultimately signed by the chief executive. And so in Section 7 of that very bill, it says the Department of the Environmental Quality shall provide assistance to the City of the Springs, and I'm going to leave out a few proper names so it's not verbatim, City of the Springs, the county, or any other appropriate government entity for development and submittal of applications to the Federal Office of Surface Mining for the Bitter Creek Restoration Project to receive funding under AML Reclamation Program pursuant to the state implementation of a plan created in Statute 3511-1202. Secondly, the Department of Environmental Quality shall provide assistance to the City of Rock Springs, the county, or any other appropriate government entity for the submittal of development and submittal of applications to the, for the governor's consideration for funding to, of the Bitter Creek Restoration Project as provided by 3511-1202C. Then in Section C, the Department of Environmental Quality is authorized to submit a new grant application to the Federal Office of Surface Mining in the amount not to exceed $1.5 million from any unexpected, unobligated funds reverted from appropriations in Sections 2A, Romanet 2, Romanet 3, and Section 4A of this Act for the planning and design of segments 2, 3, and 4 of the Bitter Creek Restoration Project in Rock Springs for the construction segment 1 of the Bitter Creek Restoration Project, et cetera, et cetera. So we already have it in law that we're going to do this. I think the agency is working towards this. And this is just unnecessary and really puts us behind the apple cart to say we're going to hold $100+ million hostage just so we can make sure that this one little pet project is put on the very front burner. So I would encourage you to resist this amendment.
Any other members for their first time? Mr. Majority Whip.
Mr. Speaker, thank you. I'm honored against the amendment. I did tour the project. I do support the project. We had a really good tour from the good bringer of this amendment, and it really brought into focus to me what needs to be done there in that good community. I just feel like this is a nuclear option, and I don't think this is the way we need to go about it. We need to try to find a way to fund this at some point in time, but I just don't believe this is the manner in which we should do it.
Any other members for the first time? First time, moving to second time. Second time before the sponsor, Representative Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and I appreciate the reading of the statute because that didn't save me my time. It gives me a little bit more time. And that's really the issue, Mr. Speaker, is that we passed this law, and as a body, if we don't feel that the law is being executed properly, then what ramifications and what recourse do we have? I mean, I can't go twist their arm. You know, I mean, we passed a threefold amendment to this bill that had three different parts to it. One was the money, one was the prior balance application, one was the reclamation application. In October, when Minerals Committee came to the City of Rock Springs and presented an update on this, they were still talking about whether or not the project qualified. So what we'd like to do is we'd like to see this agency move from a viewpoint of still trying to find reasons why the project doesn't qualify to move to helping us, like the law says, justify the qualification of this project. Now, I don't want to go and rehash all the history and talk about the mine and the actual coal seam that we're talking about and how this is related to the railroad and the coal company that was one and the same at the time and how they organized with the city to reroute this creek to pull water away from their coal mine so that it wouldn't flood so that they could continue to mine coal, this rich coal, and send our products across the nation back in the 1930s. And we can talk about the relationship, and we can talk about in statute what reclamation plan and the requirements for the reclamation plan really are. In your green book, it's page 437 in the number 9. And it's not very specific. I would encourage this body that as these funds continue to flow in, we need to go back and revisit this reclamation plan. So, Mr. Speaker, for the edification of the body, I'll withdraw the amendment.
Second reading amendment number 7 has been withdrawn. Mr. Majority Floor Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House stand in recess until 2 p.m.
You've heard the motion. All those in favor say aye. Opposed, say no. The House is in recess until 2 p.m. Any committee announcements? No committee announcements. Mr. Speaker Pro Tem.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just a reminder, the majority will caucus at now in L51.
Any other announcements? Mr. Minority Whip, caucus leader, I should say.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Welcome, everybody, to the Minority Caucus. It's an open caucus, and it's an E38, I believe.
Any other announcements? House is in recess until 2 p.m.